Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Today on the Zabecast, the man behind the podcast himself, Chris Broussard of nlutions.com, the guy who helps get your subscriptions untangled, joins me in the Mobile Strike studio to talk about the Wild West of podcasting and his brother's upcoming NBA quarantine. I go to a gun range and I've got mask questions as well. All that plus the boy mayor gets his walk of shame. Your daily Kickstarter of uncensored me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Monday, June 8, 2020. Thank you for joining me. In case you unplugged from the news this weekend, and if you did, congratulations. I bet you had a wonderful weekend. In case you were not following the latest in baseball's negotiations, let me get you up to speed on that. And now you're up to speed. No closer to a baseball season. And frankly, I think it's too late. More on that in a second. But first, Grover, are we near or far from an agreement in baseball?
This is near.
Mm-hmm.
This is far.
All right, we're far still. Statement from the players on Sunday. Major League Baseball players accused teams of, quote, depriving America of baseball as part of a money fight set off by the coronavirus pandemic, and they raised the possibility that Rob Manfred might push ahead with a shortened season over the union's objection. Bruce Meyer, the MLBPA chief negotiator, sent the letter to MLB Commissioner Don Halem on Friday. Deputy MLB Commissioner Dan Halem on Friday, threatening that an attempt to play without an agreement could lead players to block any attempt to expand the playoffs and thus deny consent for neutral site games in the postseason. Blah, 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 blah. The league's cynical tactic of depriving America of baseball in furtherance of their demand for unwarranted salary concessions is short-sighted and troubling. Meanwhile, other leagues are moving forward with their plans for resumption. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. We are far!
This is near.
Which we're not.
This is far!
It's too late. It's too late. The moment's gone. The mood is past. It's too damn late. This is like that party that you got into an argument over with your wife. Maybe she wanted to have it, or you did, and she did, and vice versa. Doesn't matter. You go back and forth. It's a knockdown dragout. There's going to be too many people here. I don't want to. I'm going to the ball game that day. Oh, how are we going to pay for the food? Who's going to clean? You argue over it, and then finally one side gives in. Fine. We're going to have the party. Oh. All right. Well, I mean, but I don't want you to be mad about it. I'm not mad. Who says I'm mad? Let's have the party. It's fine. Well, I'll get ready for the party. It's fine. Well, you sound like you're mad. I'm not mad. No, I said have the party. Is that not enough? Have the party. Same dynamic. It's too late, baseball. You come back now, people are going to go, oh, great. You have blown it. Blown it entirely. Nobody is going to have a feel-good vibe at this point for baseball. The plan was to come roaring out of the gate on July 4th weekend. Well, looky, looky. I said we had time all this time, and boy, time is moving now. 3 weeks away, basically. 3 weeks, well, 4 weeks away, and you got nothing. Good job, baseball. And by good job, you know what I mean. Conor McGregor retires this weekend, allegedly. I'm going to give that the amount of seriousness that it deserves, which is, no. Boxing retirements and MMA retirements, they're written on a dry erase pad or board. Pad? Who has a pad? It's a dry erase thing. Idiot. Doesn't come in a pad. You don't need a pad. It's one. I know! I made a mistake. Retirements in boxing and MMA are written on a dry erase board. I'm retired. And wipe it off. Almost like when Michael Scott declared bankruptcy. I declare... No, that's not how it works. Conor McGregor is not retired, but he announced it this weekend. Hey, how about that? Apparently a really good UFC card. I did not watch it. Sorry about that, but apparently Amanda Nunes dominated in her bout. That was one of the headline bouts that I saw promoted. So she's still dominant in that regard, and MMA continues. And on Friday, Dana White said Fight Island is on. They're working on it as we speak. They may have an octagon down by the water. That could be cool. PGA Tour resumes this week in Texas at the Charles Schwab Challenge, and the field is stacked. 17 of the top 20 in the world rankings, a total field of 148. There's a handful of sponsors exemptions that make you go, wait, what? Scott McCarron is one of them. Bernhard Langer, who's like 60, is one of them. Steve Stricker is playing. Tom Lehman is playing in this thing. Only guy really not playing is Tiger for reasons that I don't fully understand, but it's his schedule. So good to have the tour back this week. Giannis marched in Milwaukee over the weekend. Good for him. And he said, I want my kids to feel safe growing up here in Milwaukee. And I'm like, A, I do too. B, where are your kids going to grow up? Milwaukee, yes, Giannis. So can we count that as a firm yes to the Supermax extension that you're going to retire a Milwaukee Buck? Can we? Roger Goodell on Friday, late Friday news dump, records a video on Twitter doing exactly what the players said they wanted him and the league to do. Apologize for not listening sooner to Colin Kaepernick's protest and the players. And sure enough, Roger Goodell danced the tune they wanted. Apparently, the owners didn't have a whole lot of say in this. Goodell just went out there and did it. Here's the problem. You know it's not going to be enough. You know that he is not going to get universal praise. I saw some people saying, okay, this is a good start. Others are saying, too late, about 3 years late on this. Some took issue with the fact he didn't say Colin Kaepernick's name. Will there be a push now to get Kaepernick signed? And if so, does Kaepernick want to play? I don't know. Another question. This is a genuine question. Why doesn't Kaepernick speak? Kaepernick has grown into a tremendously
outsized figure in the movement, and you would think with that kind of power, he would speak from time to time. Now, maybe some would say he doesn't need to speak. That Kaepernick stance and his voice is being felt throughout cities in America. Or maybe he's, I don't know, afraid of saying the wrong thing. Is that possible? They wouldn't turn on Kaepernick, would they? Hold that thought for the end of the podcast. Speaking of turning on people you thought were your allies. Anyhow, this is all the result of Goodell's weak leadership that lacked foresight and conviction. And I said it from the very start of this anthem protest. I said he needs to nip it in the bud. And by nip it, I don't mean quash it. I don't mean be heartless or indifferent to it. What Goodell needed to do was to say forcefully, we don't want the anthem being the backdrop for protests, no matter how worthy they are, no matter how of the moment they might be, no matter how big the issue is for whatever percentage of our players. That's not what we want the anthem for. The anthem is part of our game presentation as a unifying moment for the whole country and for everyone in the stands and the players to stand respectfully so that we can say, hey, America, she ain't perfect. And we still striving, but guess what? Still a pretty darn good place. He could have said, basically, Goodell, I want the NBA model. I will trade off maybe some leeway in, you know, talking about your issues, but I'm not going to stand for it during the anthem. This is an important part of our presentation. It's important for these reasons, and I'll have what the NBA is eating because that's what the NBA got. Well, Goodell did not go that route. He tried to placate, and the notion that the NFL didn't listen earlier, what was the players' coalition with Malcolm Jenkins and Eric Reed and others all about? Didn't the NFL donate money and resources? Didn't they give up one of their most valuable pieces of real estate, the halftime show, to Jay-Z, the most prominent African-American figure in music and entertainment? I guess all that wasn't enough still. Okay. We'll see what's next. Finally, 2 years ago Sunday, the Capitals win the Stanley Cup in Las Vegas. Game 5, I was there in person. It was a glorious, hot but dry day as it is in the desert. Not so hot that I couldn't wear my Caps jersey walking in broad daylight, nor did I not, I mean, and I loved wearing it in the cooler evening once we tumbled out of the arena. What a day it was. What a night it was. All thanks to my guy, Peter Bartel in Milwaukee, who was just so kind to me. He's a listener. And he said, I got a ticket. I got a place, a hotel for you if you want to come out. You get the airfare, come on out. Be part of our crew. Him and Scott Ford, who is the assistant coach of the Milwaukee Admirals, and some of Fordo's knucklehead goon buddies from the minor league hockey days. I haven't had a better weekend or a better birthday weekend than I did 2 years ago. Man, was that amazing. Thank you, Petey Bartel, 2 years ago. All right, let's talk some podcasting, shall we? All right, we are in the Mobile Strike studio. My man, Chris Broussard from Inlutions.com, your number one web marketing, newsletter, money-making, make-it-rain podcast company, Inlutions.com. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm great.
You tired of getting emails from my listeners?
No.
Them to you, they email me, I can't sign up for the podcast. I'm like, boom.
CB question mark.
Yeah, CB, handle it. CB, yeah. Handle it. CB, handle it. Now, the changeover has been pretty smooth, all things considered. And we're almost home to what we figure will be the conversion. There'll right. be a handful of people that just get the door slammed on their fingers because we're going to close Libsyn here shortly, right? When are we closing Libsyn? When is the old platform going?
They have dark? Said that starting this week they're not renewing anybody okay. new. But I'll right. believe it when I see it. But we were supposed to do it June 1st, no new renewals. But
okay.
we were supposed to be off that platform completely June 30th.
Do you know how confusing podcasts are to people that who have never listened to them? Like, where are they?
Where are they?
Where? Hey, Mom, you should listen to this podcast. Where do I find it? On the internet. Yeah. It exists in a multitude of different places.
Well, and that's what a podcast is. It's supposed to be in multiple places. It's not a radio show. It's not one channel at 4 p.m. There it is. A podcast is supposed to be, I can get it wherever I want it.
Okay. So, but it's creators like me and others will create a podcast, will upload it to a distributor, either Libsyn, Liberated Syndication,
mm-hmm.
or Red Circle,
yeah.
or Spotify is now in the game. They just paid a lot of money for Joe Rogan. We'll talk about that in a second.
Sort of, yeah.
And basically, they, how do they work it? Like, they're the ones that catch the audio and then fling it to all these different applications, apps on yeah. your phones.
There's
the Apple Podcasts app that will collect and right. aggregate and play your favorite podcasts.
Right.
So what else is there? There's Podbean.
There's Podbean. There's Overcast. There's
Google has one.
Google has one. I mean, if you think about it, there's the producer. There's you.
Yep.
That create the creator. There's the creator. There's companies like Libsyn and Red Circle. Podbean does it a little bit where they're, you would say, distributors.
Yeah.
That they're, you load it, we upload it once.
They're stores.
And then it gets, right. well, no, actually, what they do is they're the middleman almost. They're the UPS or FedEx, where you upload it once to them, and that gets blasted out to all the different podcast apps. Apple Podcast being by far the biggest and the best in many cases, because they actually keep things open, but it goes to Apple, it goes to Overcast, it goes to Podcast. Or Podbean, it goes to all those different platforms out there. It goes to Google. Spotify is now a destination where they will take that podcast, but they will not take the premium podcast anymore.
Right. That's another element to this, where some platforms allow creators like me right. To go ahead and charge for some element of the podcast, depending right. on how you do it. And there's a million different ways. We put Fridays behind the wall.
Right.
And you can get 4 days for free, hopefully get you hooked, and then you're like, I got to have Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, I think we've got a number of subscribers that throw us the $5 a month just to keep us motivated and as an appreciation
right. yeah.
for the first 4 days.
Right. But the idea is that the end unit, and we were in, I'd say, somewhat of a bad situation with Libsyn, and that we were bound to the Zabecast app. And we've heard from lots of people saying, I love the Zabecast app, but we have 18 months of emails from people that say, I hate that fucking app.
Right.
And it's not, you know, and we were off Google for a couple of weeks. It becomes a huge issue. And in many cases, that's not the idea, principle of a podcast, is that you should be able to listen to it on whatever app you want. That should be the end destination of that podcast.
Here, let's bring Mike back into this. How many podcasts do you listen to?
That would be zero, but I'm learning.
Well, so thank you. One.
For, you right. know, there are podcasts you would like. There's golf podcasts.
I'm sure there are.
Because yes. you like golf, you like the Cowboys.
I do.
You I like, do. What else do you like? Golf?
Nothing.
Janice, what else does your man like there? Golf? He likes the Cowboys?
Twitter.
He likes Club Pro Guy? Yeah. When is Club Pro Guy going to start a podcast? Or is that
or
too
be
forced?
On ours?
He won't do a lot of stuff. He's very reclusive. Old Club Pro Guy.
Well, I think we should take the
you don't have much time to listen okay. to
down to Texas.
Well,
that is true.
And you don't have much
especially
yard either.
These days.
Right.
Especially yard. When my commute is stairs down to the first
stairs
floor.
Down to the first floor.
Yeah.
I will listen to podcasts when I'm on the mower, because that's 3 hours of boredom, riding the big orange horse, as I call it, the Kubota. Other people that take long-haul drives, salesmen that cover mm-hmm. a big territory, that have a lot of empty hours, they love podcasts.
Metro riders.
Metro riders are big as well. I call podcasting Netflix for your ears, Mikey. It's Netflix for your ears. And there's a lot of smart, interesting, and connected people doing podcasts. And there's a lot of dumb podcasts.
Hey, do a podcast.
There's been more podcasts over the last 3 months. Libsyn was, you know, there's been more launched in the last 3 months than at any other time. Not
sure.
a lot of good ones. But
right. Right. That's the thing. And some of the popular ones I'll listen to and I'll go, it's not that good. You know, it's interesting, the whole game that is podcasting. But
it's
anyway.
Still the Wild Wild West. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there's so many different platforms, and how do you get the premium versus non-premium? And, the you know, is advertising going to be able to support a lot of these or not? You know, I mean, that's like the old dot-com days.
Yeah, we started it saying we're not going to chase advertising. If it comes to us, then we'll do it.
It's coming.
It's coming. Yeah. No, I mean, here's the thing. And you're going to hear some advertisements, and you're going to have to fast forward through them or listen to them. Like, I'll listen to advertising some really long spots, unlike the Office Ladies podcast with Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey. Yeah. Have you listened to them?
I have.
And?
Doesn't do it for me.
Because? Too chatty, too girl-like, where they're all over the place. Because they're best friends. Or we're talking about the episodes.
It insists upon itself.
It insists upon itself.
It just feels too forced.
Now, I think it's genuine. If I could coach the ladies up, and I'm sure they don't want to hear from me on this, but I am a broadcast professional, I'd say stop obsessing about how your hair was that day. Get deeper into the meaning of the episodes, what resonated with you. I don't mind nuggets and Easter eggs. Right. And, oh, by the way, did you see the coffee cup on Stanley's desk?
Yeah.
One or two of those. Sprinkle them in. And they don't play very many sound clips from the show, which makes me wonder, is it because of copyright?
Are they allowed, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
They've played a couple, but they don't play very many. And I'm like, play more. Play five. If I was their producer, I'd be like, you got to play five clips per podcast.
And it would be even better if they played some outtakes. Like, that if it would was be endorsed. Well. I mean, it's all about right now. I don't know what the syndication. I don't know what they make off of every Netflix viewer. Was it on Hulu now only?
Right.
But, you know, play some outtakes. Talk about the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Stuff that and maybe they didn't
do.
Make it.
And they do, and they'll bring on guest stars. You know, they had Creed on one episode. They had the super hot Melora Hardin.
Oh,
such a great character. Did you ever watch The Office, Mike?
No.
Yeah, you've messed out. You watched Game of Thrones, right?
I did.
Did you watch Breaking Bad, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You watched Sopranos, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. You watched The Wire?
Like the first two or three seasons, I think.
Okay.
Did you watch The Americans? Good.
No, haven't seen that.
The Office you'd like, I think.
Everyone says it's outstanding. I've seen episodes here and there.
Okay. Better watch it soon because a lot of the episodes are going to
go away.
They're talking about the the one where Michael Scott with the racial tolerance episode?
No. Diversity Day?
Diversity Day.
Diversity Day will no longer be viewable. Because of wokeness,
that's what I heard from the back seat of my car with my two teenagers last night.
Fucking kidding.
Is that going to stay up there?
Wow.
I mean, the show is cringy. That's what made it so great.
Of course. Of course. That's what made it funny. Anyway, back to podcasting. So we moved to Red Circle because they had a number of advantages, including this thing called an RSS feed, which is something that creators can have more control over. It's like your direct DNA code to be able to fling this podcast to virtually every platform. We found out, though, that Google and Spotify are now not playing nice.
For the premium.
For premium
RSS.
Right, exactly.
They take the free one.
Exactly.
But so, they won't let you add your own private RSS.
And we have no idea who in the future is going to say, you know what, we're not playing ball anymore. So
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting the way that it plays out, because the thing with the Joe Rogan podcast is, so what he did is his was, I don't know who his distributor was, what platform he was using for sending it out. I don't remember. But now he's moving to Spotify, and it's going to be, you'll still be able to download Joe Rogan's podcast to your Apple podcast app till January. Starting January 1, you will only be able to get that on Spotify.
Right. Spotify for their money.
Premium. Spotify premium.
Oh, right, exactly. So, they're going to make you pay because they got to recoup the money. They paid him $100 million for a podcast. Is that the richest podcast deal ever? Is it akin to Howard Stern when he signed with SiriusXM?
Well, it's $100 million potential. It's not $100 million in cash, apparently.
Stock options?
I would assume, or maybe a cut of the... I don't know what they're going to do about advertising. A huge number of his views come off of YouTube.
That's the other thing.
That's going away, apparently. Okay. Maybe. Who knows? But,
Where's the video element of his show going to be? People, I think, like
I
the
think
video
they're,
element.
Maybe that's going to be on Spotify. Maybe Spotify is going to start adding that component to it. I don't know. But it's... the reports are that it could be valued as much as $100 million. So it's the same thing as Howard Stern's deal, where he didn't get $100 million in cash. He got $100 million, plus he got Sirius XM stock, or right. I don't remember. I think it was Sirius at the time.
Which I think he bitched one time about how Les Moonves fucked him out of it or something like that. On the air, he was just like going on and on and on. And I know I sat there listening going, shut the fuck up. You're so rich. Fuck you.
And the Spotify stock, since they went public last year, it was an interesting offering. But, I mean, it's done okay. It's not through the roof. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's a home run swing, I think, for Spotify to say, we're in the podcasting game.
Right. We went and got the number one guy.
Right? Yeah, and they're going right at Apple. That's the only person they're going after. Huh. Because now you won't be able to listen to Joe Rogan on Apple Podcast app, which, again, our downloads, 90% of them are Apple.
Are they really? Okay.
Yeah, Apple, it shows up as Apple Media. It's Apple Podcast. That's where most of the downloads fall, because theirs is really the best. But
What was the Jay-Z streaming service? Tidal? What was that called again? Not Tidal. Something like that, like Wave or something. But it was more expensive with fewer artists than like the others.
It was like Neil Young's MP3 player. That was like $400 and you could put 10 songs on it.
Neil Young had an MP3 player?
Yeah, it was a super high fidelity MP3 player, cuz you listen to a streaming MP3 through your Bluetooth. It sounds, and then if you put a CD in, sounds like crap. So it was like basically the equivalent of like a CD quality MP3 player.
Got it. Yeah.
And the sound was unbelievable. But you could only hold 10 songs. Because they were huge. Because they were huge. I mean, that's the thing. MP3 strips out so many of the tracks that if you put a CD player in next to an MP3 play audio, it's so much thinner.
Do you think the end product of the Zabecast is sufficient quality?
The audio?
Yeah. Is it robust enough?
It's way better than most.
I melted. You know. Thank you. I melted down to 128 kilobits on an MP3, which I think is kind of a standard level.
Yeah.
And when I listen to it, it sounds good, and I try to use good microphones. Yeah. And the old Rodecaster Pro, which puts a little bit of processing on the mics. You're on a headset right now, which is a lesser mic quality. It drives me crazy that you're not on a similar mic as this, but only me, probably.
Well, you're the only one that counts.
Well, that's the
thing. Only one that matters. So,
well, as the old saying goes, it's like the carpenter who knows there's a nail sticking out in the tiniest corner up inside a cabinet where nobody is ever going to see it. If you know it's there, it'll bother you. So anyway, So Rogan, I mean, he's huge. Corolla is huge.
Yeah.
Is Steven Crowder a podcast? Louder with Crowder? Or is he more of a YouTuber?
I think he's a YouTuber. I think there is actually a podcast tied to it.
Okay.
I believe, but well, I mean, he started. Well, Rogan too started primarily. I mean, the YouTube doing those sit down videos.
Okay.
And that's where he primarily started with those talks, I believe.
Okay.
I mean,
pardon my take. Obviously, Barstool, huge podcast.
Yeah.
You listen to those guys?
No, it's like really. It's like the what's the other one? Who's the two women from Barstool?
Oh, Spit and Chicklet. No, that's the hockey one.
They just went through the whole.
Oh yeah, Call My Dad.
Call
Her Daddy.
Call Her Daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they were dishing on their romantic trysts in New York City, and it was,
it's huge. It's one of the biggest.
Right.
But, I mean, the biggest one for the guy who created it, I would say, made it, Mark Maron was really the guy.
Mark Maron, he still does a podcast.
He does.
And he's still huge, right?
He's still pretty, pretty big, yeah. I mean, I don't think as big as he was a couple of years ago.
Okay.
I think he's run out of people to talk to. He's also severely depressed, so I mean, he's always battled depression, and then he just lost his girlfriend.
Oh shit!
So I don't know. I haven't listened to it in a while. It gets a little.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're happy that everyone has jumped over to Red Circle.
Yep.
Email us if you have any problems. Chris will untangle you. Patience of a saint.
The only thing I ask is to save time when you email us. tell us what device you're working on and what app. That saves the, sorry, you're having a problem, which app are you trying to use?
Got it.
So if you just email us, you say, hey, I can't get it to play. Most of the time where this is being an issue is that they haven't linked their app to that private RSS feed for the premium. And all you got to do is log into your Red Circle account, hit listen in app, pick your app, and that will match those two up. Because every single person has a private RSS feed for this, for the premium podcast. Once you get that, it's usually that's usually the issue is that they've subscribed to the show and then they downloaded or they went to Apple and they didn't make that connection.
Right.
You kind of got to do it through Red Circle and jump over and you know, you're through. And then the other aspect where some people have gotten confused is there's actually two shows.
Right. There's the free show there's and there's the premium show. So you have to subscribe to both.
Looking back, we probably should have named them two different things. But at this point, it's too late.
Mike, all right, so just to put this to bed. All right, so there's that. Chris Broussard, not the Chris Broussard who's on Fox Sports Radio now, used to be on ESPN, covers the NBA.
Used to be a writer for New York Times.
The weird twist is that your brother, also a Broussard, works for the NBA as their senior director of media relations.
Yes. So when he was when Chris Broussard was a writer, not on TV, everyone would always ask him, "Hey, is Chris Broussard your brother?" And he would say,
"Yeah,
absolutely."
And they'd look at his
Chris
skin.
Broussard's six foot one. Yeah, my brother like, is. Yeah. Yeah.
What's your brother's name?
Mark.
Mark. Okay.
Mark.
So Mark is getting ready to decamp to Orlando, Camp Orlando, for the summer and the early fall. And you say that he is going to have to stay quarantined for 7 days in his room before they let him out.
That's the word, yeah. They're supposed to go down there and all meals served. You know, it'll be
7 days in a room. Hotel room, not even leaving the hotel room. I asked the question, I said,
brutal.
I said, is it going to be a suite at least? And you're like, nope,
no.
Standard double.
Yeah, with a probably desk
and a view overlooking the trash dumpsters behind the resort. So
it's a little bit. I mean, normally he's gone from the middle of the conference finals through the draft.
Yeah.
Depending on where it is and, you know, that back and forth.
I don't know if I could do it. Like, I know it sounds soft because people are in prison for much longer than 7 days.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And who's mandating the 7-day quarantine?
The NBA.
For
creating that nice tight coronavirus bubble.
I don't think they've completely locked it down exactly how they're going to do it, but that's sort of the screening process of, you know, again, he's at the league office, so normally all of this stuff is handled by the teams. This is obviously, for the lack of a better word, unprecedented times.
Of course, in these challenging times
in
these unprecedented times. But, so I'm not sure what I'd do for 7 days in the hotel room other than go crazy. Of course, but there'd be this huge urge to get out in the hallway and just run naked to the ice machine. I'm free.
Yeah. Who's going to see you?
That is such a confinement. It's so weird.
It's weird, yeah. Yeah, and it'll be 3 months, basically. I mean,
would you mark the days somehow? Or would you try to
Tom Hanks on Castaway? Right. I should send him a Wilson volleyball.
Yes, bring him a Wilson volleyball and prop it up on the nightstand. Wilson. Will he have free pay-per-view? Hopefully all the movies he can watch. Hopefully the NBA springs for that. Who knows, right?
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, it's hard for him. I mean, I don't know how he does it normally when he's gone for usually 7 weeks, 8 weeks.
Yeah, he's traveling, hotel, city, airplane.
But at least you get...
Well, you get out and about. You see people. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Not seeing anybody for 7 days. It's craziness.
I mean, I don't even know how they're going to handle the media.
Is he going to have a balcony? Like, I'm very curious. I think with a balcony, I could do it, Mikey. I don't think if I didn't have a balcony, I could do it.
Well, it should get everybody on a low floor because
I wonder if we could get him on the show.
About taking a jump.
Yeah, get him on the show if you want. So it's been a suck minus year for the league, starting with Kobe Bryant's death.
No, I go back to that. Oh.
The start of the season,
preseason,
in Hong Kong, with the protesters and the controversy.
Half the NBA was in Japan, half of the league office. You know, they do the abroad preseason. So you had half of the league office in Japan, half of them in China, and then that all comes down in China. And, I mean, that was – it was – the way all that was handled was unfortunate, but there was very real concern by the NBA league office about the safety of personnel in China during that time.
Meaning they could be arrested.
Yeah. I mean, my brother has had opportunities. You're under guard the entire time you're there.
Right.
When you land.
You could be detained. Remember the UCLA players that Trump had to bail out?
Yeah.
They don't fuck around.
No. He flew in once to Macau. And I don't remember, it was the LA Clippers were there. He spent a few days in Macau. They had a game. Then they flew to Beijing, I think, or Shanghai, played a couple more games. And then they all went to the airport. He flew from Macau to Beijing or wherever on the Clippers charter plane. Because the league office travel with them, spends a few days. They're about to leave. He's got a ticket from Beijing to Newark, New Jersey. They tell him, no, you came in on that plane with the Clippers. You have to get on that plane. And he was like,
"But
I'm going to Newark.
Plane's gone."
And the guy's standing there with a
rifle
going, you're getting on that plane.
At that point,
you get on that plane.
I get on the next fucking plane out of Macau.
You land in LAX at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Get
and
back
you walk
on
up
another
to,
plane.
And you walk up to the counter and say yes, hello. I would like a ticket to Newark.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
So that was,
a
real controversy.
It starts with that. And, of course, it all started with a tweet. Just a tweet from Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
And the impact of that, I mean, the Chinese do not play soft. They play for keeps. They play the long game, and they don't fuck around. So the NBA is looking at, we could lose $1 billion easily if China cuts us off, and they would do it make a point. So we need to tiptoe. So it starts with that.
And then David Stern.
Well, let's back up let's go 365 days of the NBA's worst year ever, starting with Durant blowing out his Achilles and Klay Thompson blowing out his knee, which, no offense to the Raptors, they're not winning that series. It's not even a close series if the Warriors are at full strength. So that was the start of
winning
it.
The MVP wins. The MVP of the NBA Finals wins the NBA Finals and says,
see ya. Peace out.
I mean, he's not even...
Yeah.
He barely even makes it to the end of the parade route.
With Kawhi laughing on his way to L.A. So then the season starts with that fiasco in Hong Kong. Then Kobe Bryant dies.
You keep skipping over it.
What?
Zion starts off preseason with a bang.
That's right.
He gets injured right away. He's the new star player. Right after New Year's, David Stern has an aneurysm.
Dies.
Kobe Bryant dies 3 weeks later.
Then the Rudy Gobert pandemic. Not just the league shutting down. Everyone is going to shut down. But the way it happened was like, you dumb fuck.
Yeah.
So that was dumb.
Right.
And now they're going to restart. At least they've had the smoothest restart along with the NHL. At least they're not Major League Baseball. They're taking too long, in my opinion. They're being too cautious, in my opinion. Hell, people are going to be on Space Mountain in line, but they're not going to let them in to watch an NBA game? Let 1,000 people in to watch the NBA games at Disney. The fuck?
Well, it's... Do you know where the games are even played? I don't even know where the games are being. Are they going to be at the Orlando Arena?
No. There's a Disney Wild World of Sports court and arena. I was there once to see a Globetrotter game, and it's nice. Small, though. Sold out in 1,000 fans. Who cares? Either way.
I think it's a missed opportunity to have some of these games and, like, have it at Springfield College where they invented basketball.
No, because
you got to play an NBA game in Duke.
Because you got to bring Cameron. All the bubble with you and the testing. You have to quarantine your brother in Springfield, Mass. He's not going to like that. So anyway, hopefully the rest of the season goes off okay.
Season, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's left of it.
What it is.
I mean, I hope by the finals or the semis we get some fans in the stand. That's all. I hope they can do that. We'll see about that.
If they don't, I would love to hear the commentary of just, I mean.
The live mics on the
court? The live mics on the court.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that to me would be interesting. A few times when you hear that, some of the sports, like some of the football games, like I think it would be phenomenal to watch an NFL game with just live mics.
Sure. But with the NBA, you can't air that. Do you know how many fuck you, motherfucker, and other words that we couldn't possibly say that are going to be in there? I want to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow. And then the agents would be like, cut those mics off. That's not making my client look good, you know?
Yeah.
He just called somebody, you know, a cocksucking bitch.
Right. But the audio you heard from the Last Dance of the Dream Team.
Yeah.
And those scrimmages.
Those are good.
I mean, those games... My brother was not lucky enough to be at that first one. That's when he had just started the NBA. But everyone that was there said that those games were the best basketball games they've ever seen, period.
That's what they say. Something tells me someone doth exaggerate a little bit. But I'm sure
these guys have seen a lot of games.
They were incredible talent, no question. The footage I saw, the footage looked bad, so you're kind of like, can you tell? Was it a real game? It didn't look like an NBA game.
Well, there was that, and then there was the first game. When they started that training camp, Krzyzewski brought in 10 college kids to scrimmage against the Dream Team.
And they got crushed.
And the college kids beat them the first game.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, well, it was a good team. I mean, it was Grant Hill. It was Bobby Hurley. It was it was a deep bench, and Krzyzewski brought him in and coached them up. And
fuck him.
The college kids won that first
Monday,
game. And then the next
guy.
Day, Jordan,
Krzyzewski
then it was personal.
Coached him up. No, the Dream Team was hungover.
Of course.
And they didn't give a shit the first game, and they're like, oh, okay. They got lucky and beat us.
Then it got personal.
Jordan. Then I took it personally. Imagine the daily things that Michael Jordan takes personally in his life. A red light that doesn't cycle fast enough.
Yeah, it was personal.
Right. Waiting 2 cycles through a left turn because somebody was slow to look up from their phone. I took it personal.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. All right, boys.
So are we good on the podcast?
I think we're good. That's a wrap here from the Mobile Strike Studio.
Westfield.
Getting this thing out. Where should we take it next? Take it down to a Redskin Cowboy game in Dallas, Mike. You got a driver that can long haul us, and we can nonstop. Janice will do it.
Yeah,
Janice, you do it.
She needs.
Okay,
she's almost retired.
She needs the work.
Yeah,
she needs the work. All right.
Give her $8 an hour. She's in.
All right. Well, that's a little.
Yeah, that
Chris,
might be a little much.
Do we have budget for $8 an hour or no?
$8 an hour.
Yeah,
$8.
That's a whole month subscription.
Now, what's the definition of an hour? Is this
is it a
minutes?
Union? Is it a union hour or is it a lawyer
hour?
Right. One fax is an hour. It's the smallest unit. 5 minutes to fax, it would have taken an hour. All right. Okay, wrapping up here. I'll be honest. I don't have the strength or the time or the heart to go through all the protest, riot, coronavirus stuff because it's just all so overwhelmingly depressing, frankly. The only thing I'm going to ask of you people listening is if you have a way to think about all this to help you cope or to reassure you, just let me know. I could use some of that right now because so much of what I'm seeing, I'm like, we're living in crazy land. Up is down, black is white, right is wrong, good is bad, nothing makes sense anymore. And there are many, many people who seemingly with the utmost of conviction believe something that many of us find to be not only absolutely false, but abhorrent. How do you cope realizing this? Realizing we've got to find a way to share a country with people that think this way. I don't know. Maybe it's the silent majority theory that could give you a bit of peace of mind. Like, look, there's a lot of people that believe a lot of nutty stuff, but the media is amplifying that. And that's not indicative of at least, let's call it 51% of the country. Remember, as many people turned out for protests over the weekend, it's probably still less than 1% of the whole country. I mean, I was trying to add it up like, man, that's a huge crowd in Philly. Is that 100,000, 200,000? So I start doing the math, which is always dangerous. If you had 100,000 people out in 30 major American cities, that's 3 million people. That's still less than 1%. That means 99% of the country was going about its business, living peaceably and enjoying life and being kind to their neighbors of all colors. Living, praying, worshiping, you name it. Well, there's that theory. The other theory would be the pendulum theory, which says, look, things swing. The pendulum swings. It will swing back that this is a heated time in our nation right now, and things are going to come back to a somewhat of an equilibrium. There's that theory. There's the theory of nothing lasts forever. We get bored as a nation. We get bored of everything, even rightful causes and big hot flash point moments in history. You know, I don't know. Maybe we'll see a whole nother week of protesting. We'll see. So I don't know, but I see some things and I say, how do you even deal with that exactly? Here, let me just, I'm just going to scroll here. Couple things I bookmarked. Drew Brees' wife, Brittany, issued an apology saying, "We are the problem." Oof. All those years in New Orleans and all that money raised and all those good deeds, and we're the problem. Okay. STFU Hillary is trending today. Someone said, is it Christmas? I guess Hillary was complaining in an interview about the way Bernie Sanders and his supporters treated her in 2016. I think people on the left are like, enough of you already. Know the moment. Shut it. Zip it. James Bennett, the editorial page editor of the New York Times, who allowed the op-ed by Senator and Army veteran Tom Cotton, after exhaustive back and forth and vetting, has resigned, even though he is no doubt a rock-solid, die-hard, left-leaning journalist. He wasn't left enough. The young Jacobins, I think that's how you say it, Jacobins, at the New York Times said, that's it. We can't tolerate working under you. You're out. It was like a coup d'etat. Not liberal enough. Crazy. Elmer Fudd has been stripped of his rifle in the new Looney Tunes cartoon series. You got to be kidding me. HBO Warner Brothers said, yeah, when we're drawing the new ones, we're not going to do the rifle anymore. So you got to get the vintage one with the rifle. Kid a wabbit, kid a wabbit. Apparently Elmer Fudd's going to have a scythe, but he's not going to have a rifle. Okay, then. Police chiefs, including Milwaukee Police Chief Alfonso Morales, heckled as he walked out of a protest. We don't want you here. A Naval Academy trustee asked to resign Saturday after racially insensitive comments were captured on Facebook video. New York Police Department cops warned to watch out for concrete-filled tennis balls during protests. Good grief. Speaking of which, one report said as many as 600 New York City police officers have already tendered their resignation. And can you blame them? Or retired? They're like, you know what? Now's probably a pretty good time to get out. Here's a headline for you, BBC News. 27 police officers injured during largely peaceful anti-racism protests. Wow. Only a state broadcaster could have published that. Emma Watson receives backlash for Black Lives Matter post. I can't believe it was a post criticizing Black Lives Matter, and yet it still wasn't enough. Some people were comparing Antifa to the troops that liberated Europe on D-Day, since D-Day was over the weekend. Right. Somebody points out, hey, if Antifa was the if the troops on D-Day were the original Antifa, anti-fascists, then how come they defaced their own memorial in D.C. this week, which they did? Ooh, that's one to make you think, huh? Here's a tweet, Escape from New York and Escape from L.A. were documentaries. Yeah, apparently. U.S. companies flood civil rights groups with donations. The revolution will be corporatized. Then there's this. My man Dave Ross points out that CNN focuses on one thing and one thing only, pounds it 24/7. For 3 months, it's coronavirus, 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 and now it's, whoop, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. He took a screenshot of how nowadays on CNN, you have to sign up for their newsletter. He's like, a newsletter? You got no time on your 24-hour cable news network for that. University of Cincinnati baseball player starts petition to rename Marge Schott Stadium. Well, of course. Man arrested for wearing blackface to anti-black racism protest in Toronto. Not cool. Bill de Blasio to shift New York Police Department funding to local youth groups. And defund the police. Has this been tried? Is there an example where this has worked? Because on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the greatest idea in the history of ideas, 1 being, no, that's a bad idea. Really bad idea. I'd say this one sounds to me like a negative 5. It sounds like Mogadishu to me. It sounds like, ironically, if we're talking about, well, let's go to a community policing model. Well, unfortunately, that's essentially what happened in the awful Ahmaud Arbery case. Ahmaud Arbery? Arnaud Arbery. I should get his name right lest I get criticized. Type this in. A-R-B-E-R-Y. Oop, botched that one. No, hold on a second. If I only had hold music. Arbery. Yeah, Ahmaud. I mean, that was crazy, disgusting, outrageous. Those rednecks should get the fucking electric chair. I don't care if he was poking in at houses, looking around. That we can't have that. Stopping people in your pickup truck with rifles. Hey, man, we want to talk to you. What are you, the fucking police? No. That's community policing. And you know, if we defund the police, and that's the model we go to, you're going to see a lot more of that, and it's going to be bad. It'll be hell on earth, if you ask me, because every white neighborhood is going to patrol itself the way you expect. Black neighborhoods the same, Hispanic the same, Asian the same. No. But in an effort to remain open-minded, if there is an example where defunding the police has been tried and has been a hit. Some country, somewhere, let me know. I'd like to know. Lastly, speaking of guns, I went to the gun range over the weekend. I went with my brother. This is my second trip to the gun range ever. I went with him to an indoor gun range years ago, immediately did not like it, and said, you know what? I'm good. I'm very pro Second Amendment, but I'm not super wild about guns. Well, obviously, with things being the way they are, I've said to myself, you know, probably should get a little bit comfortable maybe with handling a firearm safely and shooting one. So my brother and I went out to this outdoor gun range just across the border in West Virginia. And I'll tell you, the first thing I noticed was as soon as we come up to the range and I start hearing the pop, 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 and the boom, boom, boom on the other side of, you know, the house that is the entryway to it, my heart rate started to go up and I started to get uneasy. But by the end of the day shooting, and for my second time, I realized, okay, I'm now more comfortable around gunshots. I'm more comfortable around, you know, the vibration in your chest. Because when you're shooting an AR-15, I mean, that thing is a boom, boom. I mean, it's concussive in your chest. And so you got to get comfortable with that, which I did to a certain extent. and I shot a number of guns. What's funny was, you know, my brother's like, all right, try this one. Okay, try this one, try this one. And, you know, I would like shoot five or six of whatever it was he gave me, and there'd be maybe five or six more left. And be like, you don't want to shoot more? And I'm like, no, I got it. Like, gun shoots target. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had fun shooting at the targets. One of the guns I shot, I think it was the 357 Magnum, I was quite wild with. Of course, the target wasn't that far away, but it was far enough away that, and the gun was powerful enough that I was missing the target pretty good. But then my brother gave me something called a FN57, made by this company, Fabrique Nationale Herstal. Shoots a 5.7 by 28 caliber round. I have no idea what that is. But it was a smooth gun, not too loud. Kickback was not too bad either. And I lit up that target. I mean, I just put a cluster right in there. Also shot the Fabrique Nationale PS90, which is this weird-looking gun. It's called a bullpup rifle. Same caliber round, and also very smooth, not too loud. Pretty badass gun, but both of those are very expensive. I'm like, yeah. We met a guy. He was right next to us. This was funny. So, guy right next to us shooting, young guy, 30-something, there by himself, all geared out with his tactical pants, and he's got, you know, his knife on his side and all the gear, you know, you have this belt. He's got one pistol that's, you know, on his belt, and he's got a, some kind of knife to deal with stuff, and he's got his glasses on, the shooting glasses and the headphones. I mean, and he kind of had a bit of a beard and a goatee, orange, red-haired guy, and I'm sitting there just waiting around for my brother to get some things, you know, set up for me, and I noticed there's a lot of shell casings on the ground. And there was this, it looked like a sort of like a broom, but it was like a magnet on a stick. And I was like, oh, this is what you use to then pick up the shell casings. So I start moving it around, and it's not picking up the shell casings. It's because they were brass. It doesn't pick up brass. It only picks up metal shell casings for certain types of ammunition. And, you know, he was like pointing that out. He's like, yeah, it doesn't pick those up. And I was like, yeah, I'm new here. I'm a noob. What do you want? I was just trying to clean up. I was trying to be helpful here. And so this guy, John, his name was, comes over, and we start talking, and he was so into his guns. He talked about having a not a Glock. Apparently, you can get a Glock, but you can get a bottom half of the Glock that is 3D printed, that has no serial numbers, not traceable. You then have to modify it by Dremel tooling certain holes and fitting it just right. And da 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 da. And I'm like, wow, man, you're super into your guns. But he was a nice guy, and he was, you know, he said, oh yeah, if you get into this, man, you'll love it. This is the second most expensive hobby in the world, compared to like just getting into collector cars. Nice guy, though. I mean, and I asked my brother afterwards, because, you know, my brother's no rookie or novice with firearms. I said, what do you think of that guy, John? Was he cool or was he a douchebag? He goes, oh, no, he was cool. I'm like, okay, good. Remarkable range of different types of people at the range. But I felt totally comfortable around them because they're all responsible gun owners. Like, they're not the maniacs. They're responsible people. And it was just funny because there are so many different types of people. There was women there, and there was one woman with her daughter, I believe, and that's great and everything. There was a two boyfriend girlfriend combos that I could tell. Interesting, very interesting. And then there was like an old dude, bald head, cigarette dangling. He was on the long rifle range because they had this outdoor range is like a 50-yard range, 100-yard range, and a 300-yard range. And he was there with his rifle, and he's all sighting it, and he's burning a grit. And I'm like, yep, looks like the kind of guy who's at a gun range. But no, I've not bought any guns yet, as far as you know. I might have a huge armament. Don't come try me, man. But I don't know. Might be the time to get into it. We'll see. All right, lastly, well, two last things. Can I ask about masks for a second? I'm not mocking anybody who wants to wear a mask because they feel like it makes, they feel like it'll help. Or if they feel like, you know, it's probably not going to do anything, but I've got an underlying condition. I want to wear a mask just for a while longer. I'm not mocking you. I'm not. I'm trying not to mock you, but I want to know because I see more people still driving in their cars with masks inside. And I'm just thinking, are they too lazy to take it off? It takes a second. Surely they're going to drive for more than 5 minutes and they don't want that mask on any longer than they need to. As somebody pointed out on Twitter, you know, this thing got out of a level 4 virology lab. Do you really think your flower print homemade cloth mask is going to stop it? I also saw a guy walking on Sunday morning alone in a neighborhood with a mask on with his dog. Nobody around him. Beautiful morning. I'm thinking, why? What is in that guy's head? Again, I've got an underlying condition. You can never be too safe. But do you even know? Like in Loudoun County, the number of cases is minuscule. I don't have it looked up right now, but I mean, it's like a 200 in a county of 500,000. It's weird. So if you wear a mask, either in the car or walking your dog, well, no one else is around in a quiet neighborhood, why? I just want to know why. That's all. Oh, by the way, New York, according to Mayor or Governor Cuomo, did 60,000 tests the other day. Only 1% positive. 1%. That's great news, right? So open up, right? Open up. No. We're going to go slow. Hard to find coronavirus news now. It's all about the upheaval. Finally, this. Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, where all of this began, as liberal and progressive, young and dynamic and handsome as can be. If ever there was a guy who you'd think he's on our side, he got a Cersei Lannister walk of shame over the weekend. Unbelievable. Take a listen to this. He was at a protest in Minneapolis where they do want to defund the police. And he said publicly as mayor, I can't get with that. I think that's a bad idea. Here was the result. Take a listen.
Go home, Jacob. Go home. 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 Go home, Jacob. Go home.
By the way, he's walking slowly through the crowd by himself, t-shirt and jeans, mask on. Nobody's with him. It's incredible. If you didn't know he was the mayor, you'd have no idea. Wow. Wow. I mean, I'm gobsmacked. This guy's as on your side as you're going to get, Minneapolis.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Tell you what, there's a Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times. I think for some of us, times are just a bit too interesting. That'll be a wrap. Thanks for downloading. Thank you to Chris Broussard for sitting in the Mobile Strike studio. More of those interviews in the van coming soon. I promise you that. It's fun to get it out for a test drive. Don't forget, please change your subscription to Red Circle. When you get a chance, if you get hung up, we'll get you untangled. Just email me, zabe@yahoo.com, and we'll be on. Have yourself a great Monday, everybody, and we will see you next time.